One more. So the final two verses of this chapter are prominent verses, especially this next verse, which I personally consider one of the most important verses of the whole Bhagavad Gita. If you're ready to proceed, say Hare Krishna. Text number 26. Mang chayo vi abhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samati yaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Word for word meanings. Mam, unto me. Cha, also. Ya, a person who, of yibicharena, without fail, bhakti yogena, by devotional service, sevate, renders service, sa, he, gunan, the modes of material nature, samatitya, transcending, etan, all these, brahma bhuyaya, elevated to the Brahman platform, kalapate, becomes. So this verse, so many important words. It's a verse I recommend that everyone memorize. Please repeat. One who engages in full devotional service, in failing in all circumstances, at once transcends the modes of material nature, and thus comes to the level of Brahman. So here is the secret, the answer to all problems. Just always be engaged in full devotional circumstance at all times. Either I'm hearing, or I'm chanting, or I'm remembering, or I'm praying, or I'm worshiping, or I'm serving. And we know, we've heard many times, how Maharaj Ambarish did all the items of devotional service. But following the example of the Goswamis, right? Of Vyartha Kalatvam, they were always in anxiety, asking themselves, am I engaged in service or am I in Maya right now? So I should always, always be very, very anxious. I must be engaged in service. Somehow, hearing, chanting, remembering, praying, worshiping, I must have some devotional service at all times. Purport. This verse is a reply to Arjuna's third question. What is the means of attaining to the transcendental position? As explained before, the material world is acting under the spell of the modes of material nature. One should not be disturbed by the activities of the modes of nature. Instead of putting his consciousness into such activities, he may transfer his consciousness to Krishna activities. Krishna activities are known as bhakti yoga, always acting for Krishna. This includes not only Krishna, but his different plenary expansions, such as Ram and Narayan. He has innumerable expansions. One who is engaged in the service of any of the forms of Krishna or of his plenary expansions is considered to be transcendentally situated. One should also note that all the forms of Krishna are fully transcendental, blissful, full of knowledge, and eternal. Such personalities of Godhead are omnipotent and omniscient, and they possess all transcendental qualities. So if one engages himself in the service of Krishna or his plenary expansions with unfailing determination, although these modes of material nature are very difficult to overcome, one can overcome them easily. This has already been explained in the seventh chapter. What is that verse? Daiviyesha gunamayi mamamaya duratyaya mamevaye prabhatyante mayam etam turantite. Krishna says this divine energy consisting of the three modes of nature is very difficult to overcome. But one who surrenders to me can easily cross beyond it. And I always remember that line from the song, Taraha e bhava sindhure, that you can cross over the ocean of material existence by being fixed. Bhajahure mana srinandanandana abhaya charanara vindare. So, one of my New Year's resolutions is that I want to be always fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna. Will you bless me for that? Thank you. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama. One who surrenders unto Krishna at once surmounts the influence of the modes of material nature. To be in Krishna consciousness or in devotional service means to acquire equality with Krishna. The Lord says that his nature is eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge. Remember Krishna Kumar? That's how we began tonight, remember? Prabhupada is now confirming. The Lord says that his nature is eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge, and the living entities are part and parcel of the Supreme, as gold particles are part of a gold mine. Thus, the living entity in his spiritual position is as good as gold, as good as Krishna in quality. And now that I read this, I'm immediately reminded, what did Lord Chaitanya tell Sanatan? At the time of initiation, Krishna accepts you as good as himself. At the time of initiation. Jai. Thank you. Jai. Jai. Speak in the mic. Speak in the mic. Nothing like Bengali.
As you said, Prabhu, at the time of initiation, when the devotee fully surrenders, so stress on the word fully,
yes,
not partial. Therefore, at the ritualistic, you know, process of initiation is not complete unless you surrender fully. You may have begun to surrender, but it is not complete until you completely surrender. So at that time, Krishna dikha kale bhakta kare atma samarpan hani surrenders himself fully to Krishna. Sei kale Krishna tare kare atma samar. At that time, Krishna considers himself, that devotee, to be of the same nature as him, same quality as him. What was the next line? I forget. I think the translation is that he gives him a body, a spiritual body, and with that spiritual body, he makes him render transcendental service to the Lord. Sei deho kare tar chidanandamoy. He transforms his body into one of full of bliss, knowledge, and eternity, অপ্রাকৃত দেহে সেই দেহ করে তার চিদানন্দময়, অপ্রাকৃত দেহে তার চরণময়, উইথ দ্যাট স্পিরিচুয়াল বডি হি মেক্স হিম ওয়ার্শিপ হিজ লোটাস ফিট.
Very good. What's that? When you fully surrender heart and soul. So even at first initiation, if you fully surrender, right? Like he said, it's not a question of the external ceremony. It's a question of the heart. Have you fully surrendered in your heart of hearts? You know better than me. Let us continue. Thus, the living entity in his spiritual position is as good as gold, as good as Krishna in quality. The difference of individuality continues, otherwise there would be no question of bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga means that the Lord is there, the devotee is there, and the activity of exchange of love between the Lord and the devotee is there. Therefore, the individuality of the two persons is present in the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the individual person. Otherwise, there would be no meaning to bhakti yoga. If one is not situated in the same transcendental position with the Lord, one cannot serve the Supreme Lord. To be a personal assistant to a king, one must acquire the qualifications. Thus, the qualification is to become Brahman, or freed from all material contamination. It is said in the Vedic literature, Brahmaiva san brahmapyeti. One can attain the supreme Brahman by becoming Brahman. This means that one must qualitatively become one with Brahman. By attainment of Brahman, one does not lose his eternal Brahman identity as an individual soul, which was learned in very early in chapter 2. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. Let us go now to the final verse of chapter 14, and we will finish another chapter here at Kundan Loka. All in favor say Hare Krishna. Please repeat. Brahmano hi pratishtaham amritasya vyayasya cha shasvatasya cha dharmasya sukasya ekantikasya cha. Word for words, please repeat. Brahmana, of the impersonal Brahma Jyoti, he certainly pratishtha, the rest, aham, I am, amritasya, of the immortal, of yayasya, of the imperishable, cha, also, shasvatasya, of the eternal, cha, and dharmasya, of the constitutional position, sukhasya, of happiness, aikantikasya, ultimate, cha, also, please repeat. And I am the basis of the impersonal Brahman, which is immortal, imperishable, and eternal, and is the constitutional position of ultimate happiness. Purport. The constitution of Brahman is immortality, imperishability, eternity, and happiness. Brahman is the beginning of transcendental realization. Paramatma, the Supersoul, is the middle, the second stage in transcendental realization. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate realization of the Absolute Truth. Therefore, both Paramatma and the impersonal Brahman are within the Supreme Person. It is explained in the seventh chapter that material nature is the manifestation of the inferior energy of the Supreme Lord. The Lord impregnates the inferior material nature with fragments of the superior nature, and that is the spiritual touch in the material nature. When a living entity conditioned by this material nature begins the cultivation of spiritual knowledge, he elevates himself from the position of material existence and gradually rises up to the Brahman conception of the Supreme. This attainment of the Brahman conception of life is the first stage in self-realization. At this stage, the Brahman realized person is transcendental to the material position, but he is not actually perfect in Brahman realization. If he wants, he can continue to stay in the Brahman position and then gradually rise up to Paramatma realization and then to the realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are many examples of this in Vedic literature. The four Kumaras were situated first in the impersonal Brahman conception of truth, but then they gradually rose to the platform of devotional service. One who cannot elevate himself beyond the impersonal conception of Brahman runs the risk of falling down. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that although a person may rise to the stage of impersonal Brahman without going further, with no information of the Supreme Person, his intelligence is not perfectly clear. Therefore, in spite of being raised to the Brahman platform, there is the chance of falling down if one is not engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. What's that? Well, there are many, but the one that he normally quotes is the one from the 10th canto, Aruya Kritshtrena Parang Padang Patanti Adha, that the demigods were praying to Krishna in the womb of Devaki. And one of the prayers was that the impersonalists imagine that they have become one, but because they have no shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna, they have no devotional service, patanti adha, they will eventually fall down. The secure platform of liberation is devotional service. And the previous verse, what we just said, one who is engaged in devotional service, unfailing, reaches the state of Brahman. So as long as you're engaged, you're liberated. You stop engaging, you're down. Microphone.
We have to discuss this now. It's kind of, but on this verse, it seems there are two differences of opinion.
On what?
On that Arujya Kritshena verse. Although Prabhupada doesn't give the exact, he paraphrases it here. So according to one opinion, Sayujya Mukti, which is the attainment of Brahma Sayujya, being oneness with Brahman, is a permanent type of liberation from which there is no fall down. But of course, that's not the opinion of...
Well, who says that?
Different devotees. I don't want to name names. But
well, are they self-realized acharyas?
Well, they cite the commentaries of previous acharyas like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur to support their position. So I think there is something there, but The other opinion, of course, is what Prabhupada gives, is that even if you attain the Brahma Jyoti, you can still fall down. And if you look in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, in the second canto, in second volume, third chapter, text 41, it talks about living entities there in Mahakalpur, which is the abode of liberation. The Lord considers them as devotees, where it says, what kind of devotional service are they performing? They are not doing any devotional service as a regular bhakta would do, but their service, the Lord considers, is simply decorating the effulgence of the Lord. You'll find that. So it's a complicated.
So are the demigods wrong?
No, I think there are. What I'm trying to say is there are different conceptions of Sayujya Mukti, and Prabhupada is coming at it from another angle, and other acharyas may be coming at.
So the question is, and how would they translate that verse of the prayers of the demigods?
They would translate it as saying, the difference is this, that those who think themselves liberated, they fall down. Those who think they have, the actual word, Sanskrit word, is Arujya Pichyanam. How does that first word go? They think themselves liberated, right?
Yes, and that's what Prabhupada says.
But they haven't attained, so this is the distinction. They haven't actually attained.
Okay.
Sayujya Mukti.
All right.
And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says in his commentary to 18th chapter, text 55, he describes four kinds of transcendentalists, okay, jnanis. One kind, they just dry philosophers. They don't even take help of bhakti, so they fall down. The second class, he says, they take the example of bhakti and they may make some advancement, but ultimately they give up bhakti, and they are also they also fall down. Then there are two others. He says, the third category, because without you cannot achieve any kind of liberation without the help of bhakti. So this third kind, they don't consider, so the first two are really Mayavadis, they're actually offenders they don't accept the transcendental form of the Lord. The third kind, they accept the transcendental form of the Lord, although they are not directly inspired to render personal service of the Lord. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, they attain Sayujya. And the fourth kind of Jnanis, who are the best, they actually come into contact with devotees and render direct personal service to the Lord. Such as Sukadev,
And the four Kumars.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And of course, they are the best.
Okay.
So he says, of these four kinds of transcendentalists, two are Mayavadis, they fall down. But the other two, one of them, the third one is the one who actually attains Sayujya Mukti. And the fourth one becomes full-fledged devotee. So there's different angles.
Okay.
But the main difference between that commentary and this commentary is that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur interprets this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2.32 to say those who think they're liberated.
Yes, and that's how, and that's what Prabhupada.
So they may be on the level of Jivan Mukti, but they actually haven't attained Sayujya Mukti. This is.
Okay.
This is the distinction that I get.
Good. Therefore, in spite of being raised to the Brahman platform, there is the chance of falling down if one is not engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. Because another thing that Prabhupada always mentions in this connection is that even if you achieve this state of merging, it's unnatural. Why? Because the soul by nature is active, and so that is one of his points, that eventually, because the soul is looking for activity, he'll have to come down.
Just to pose it, and of course I'm not an authority, but this is the only way I can harmonize, is there may be different levels of existence even in Brahma. One level who I think Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is saying the third category, those who accept the form of the Lord, they're almost like Santa Bhakta.
Correct.
They appreciate.
And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says Shukadev and the four Kumaras are examples of Shanta Bhaktas.
And the first two are basically Mayavadis.
Yes.
Because they don't accept. So there's no question of them. But the difference is, you know, according to Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, they don't even get to Brahman. Whereas Prabhupada says they can get to Brahman. But anyway, that's just a small difference. But I would say, even if they get to Brahman, they can fall down. Or they don't have to, because they can make further progress from that position. They can.
And like you said, there has to be, you said it because that's what Lord Chaitanya says, there has to be some touch, tinge of bhakti.
Yes.
Without, right? That's what Lord Chaitanya says.
Without bhakti, you cannot...
Cannot advance. Even if you're a karmakandi, or if you're a yogi, right. He says, there has to be some tinge of bhakti, otherwise you don't promote.
Right.
Okay. The Supreme Lord... Okay, wait. Therefore, in spite of being raised to the Brahman platform, there is the chance of falling down if one is not engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. In the Vedic language, it is also said, raso vaisa, rasanghi avayam labvanadindi bhavati. When one understands the personality of Godhead, the reservoir of pleasure, Krishna, he actually becomes transcendentally blissful. The Supreme Lord is full in six opulences. And when a devotee approaches him, there is an exchange of these six opulences. The servant of the king enjoys on an almost equal level with the king. And so eternal happiness, imperishable happiness, and eternal life accompany devotional service. Therefore, realization of Brahman or eternity or imperishability is included in devotional service. This is already possessed by a person who is engaged in devotional service. The living entity, although Brahman by nature, has the desire to lord it over the material world, and due to this, he falls down. In his constitutional position, a living entity is above the three modes of material nature. But association with material nature entangles him in the different modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. Due to the association of these three modes, his desire to dominate the material world is there. By engagement in devotional service, in full Krishna consciousness, he is immediately situated in the transcendental position, and his unlawful desire to control material nature is removed. Therefore, the process of devotional service, beginning with hearing, chanting, remembering the prescribed nine methods for realizing devotional service, should be practiced in the association of devotees. Gradually, by such association, by the influence of the spiritual master, one's material desire to dominate is removed, and one becomes firmly situated in the Lord's transcendental loving service. This method is prescribed from the 22nd to the last verse of this chapter. Devotional service to the Lord is very simple. One should always engage in the service of the Lord, should eat the remnants of foodstuffs offered to the deity, smell the flowers offered to the lotus feet of the Lord, see the places where the Lord had his transcendental pastimes, read of the different activities of the Lord, his reciprocation of love with his devotees, chant always the transcendental vibration, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and observe the fasting days commemorating the appearances and disappearances of the Lord and his devotees. By following such a process, one becomes completely detached from all material activities. One who can thus situate himself in the Brahma Jyoti, or the different varieties of the Brahman conception, is equal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in quality. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to the 14th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of the three modes of material nature. Krishna Kumar, we finished another chapter. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Yes, Mataji. So that means we're not on the high enough platform. What you just read is the platform we should aspire for. Unless you see it in terms of this is going to be another aspect of my Krishna consciousness. To me, and what does Rupa Goswami teach us? Yukta Vairagya. How to dovetail, and that's the art. How to dovetail everything somehow. But I think my point is still valid. And I think your husband would agree. There are different levels. Even there are different levels of pure devotees. So, we should never think, I should never think, this is it. We can go higher and higher and higher. We can become purer and purer and purer. So we can aspire to come to this platform. Good. I like that. The thing is, we're householders. And because we're householders, we got one foot in the material world and one foot in the spiritual world. So that conflict is always going to be there. So we should recognize, okay, this is where I'm at. Okay, and I should not think, okay, that's good enough. I have to come to a higher standard, a better level of Krishna consciousness. Yes, that's householder life. You can't avoid it. You still have your daughter to take care of. That's just the way it is. The day will come, your daughter is taken care of, you and your husband will decide, you know what, we've had enough of this rat race. Let's now just do devotional service, nothing else. And you've already made plans for that already. How many days you're in Laguna Beach on the altar? All right? The day will come, it'll be 5. Then it'll be 7. And then it'll be 24 hours. You know that couple from New Jersey, right? The Gujarati lady, right? You got to see this devotee. She's unbelievable. When you see this Gujarati lady in New Jersey, you say, oh my God. She's like a sannyasi. Am I right? You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Gets up, dresses there from Mangal Arti, dresses the deity. Pat? Yeah. You know who I'm talking about. Tuaco. Yes. So your day is coming. Okay. You all know Krishna Prem, right? Krishna Prem Das. He is seriously thinking, finish up this Boeing business, and he just wants to do full-time devotional service like his father did. Remember? Vidura and Mundri, you weren't here for that. But they, you know, I remember they came to my office in L.A., Vidura and Mundri, and said, we don't want to stay with Krishna Prem. We want to stay in the temple. So they said, please get us. I said, it's not up to me. You got to get it through Sovas. But they specifically told me, we don't want to stay there. We want to stay in the temple. And where did he give up his body? Right across the street. Right? Yes. So, you're now working in that law firm. The day will soon come. I just want to do bhajan and preaching. Right? You don't want to stay there forever. Jai. Jai. Good for you. Boeing gone. Very good.